Morning, church. We made it to Saturday. Everybody give a woohoo! Yeah. Would you pray with me? Dear God, I thank you so much for this day. Thank you for just letting us embrace this new year. It's a new start to our lives, Lord, where we open our hearts more to you and we open our ears and listen to what you have to say to us, Lord. Today, I just pray that your will be done. Your will be done in all of us on earth as it is in heaven, Lord. In your name, amen. Gotta move this away. Abigail, do you like dinosaurs? No? Well, I love dinosaurs. Like, really love them. I had to start off somehow. My favorite dinosaur is actually the Brachiosaurus. It's about, you know, the 85 feet long, you know, vegetarian thing. It's my favorite, yet I've never met or seen one. There have been fossils discovered to prove that it was real. There are studies that prove that it walked the earth and that it ate yummy Jurassic plants. I have proof that it was real. It even walked the earth around me. I see it every day. Yet I've never seen one. So how do I know that it's real? Really, how do I know? The same way I know that God's real. I've never met him face to face. I don't know what he eats. I don't even know what color he is, what he looks like. But I know he's real. I've seen the miracles that he's created, and I've seen the impact that he's caused on the lives of people around me. There's a not-so-little word I'd like to show to y'all. It's called faith. It's believing in things that you can't or don't see. It's going through the Starbucks drive-thru and paying for the person behind you and believing that it will go on and on and on and ultimately bless people. Everyone that goes through it and experiences being paid for, just the little blessings like that. This is my story of faith. When I was in elementary school, I started popping. And not just popping and cracking. I'm talking about my joints, by the way. Not just popping and cracking like, oh, there's just a benign sound I don't know anything about. No, actually popping, like fully dislocating, like going out of place. And it's scary. Especially at the age, I was 6 and 7, and I started physical therapy from then on. Further my walk with Christ, I go to physical therapy, I make a great family, I learn to heal, that's all great. Get to middle school, and my other knee starts dislocating. So I'm at this point where I'm thinking, okay, what do I do now? At this time, I had just gone on a Blue Lake retreat. It was where I had first accepted Jesus. It was in a little chapel, in a place called Blue Lake. If you haven't been there, it's an amazing place. You can feel God in the air. He's breathing in the trees, but that's beside the point. He's there, and that's where I accepted Christ, and this is my walk with Christ. See, I was going through physical therapy as a 6-year-old, might I add. So you can imagine that the therapists were thinking, oh, okay, what do we do now? Because there's little 6-year-old Katie and little, maybe not so little, therapist that's trying to help me, trying their best to help me, but they don't know what to do with me. See, I had been told by other doctors that I couldn't be helped, that I was just messed up. I was actually told I was just messed up. So I went through life that way, thinking, maybe I'm just messed up. Maybe it's just me thinking, okay, yeah, this is gonna be my life. This is gonna be my life from now on. I'm not gonna have any word or say in what happens. But I get to middle school, and everything starts popping and dislocating, and I'm thinking to God, okay, what are you doing? What are you doing in my life? How can I use this to share your word and to share you in my everyday life? And he said, Katie, if I told you, you wouldn't be doing it. I'm like, okay. All right, God, I see where you're going. So that was my first time to me that God really said no, and I had to listen. So I go through middle school, I do the whole dance team experience, it was great, I loved it, yet I still pop, so it was hard to get through. It was really hard, it's one of the hardest challenges in my life that I've ever had to do. Get to high school, I love what I'm doing, I'm a freshman, loving life, still dancing, all is great. Get to sophomore year, I had to stop dancing, because at this time everything has started to dislocate. It was one of the hardest things in my life, and I still went to physical therapy, had been going for about maybe 8 to 9 years at this point. But I hadn't been getting better. And I was just saying to God, what are you doing in my life? Why are you giving all these problems to me? Why aren't you solving anything? Why aren't you there for me? And he said, Katie, shut up and listen. As we all need to hear sometimes, I hear it from my mom. She goes, Katie, you need to listen. We always have these awesome God talks. But she goes, Katie, you need to listen to what God has to say to you. He's saying amazing things, and you're not listening. And I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm a sophomore in high school. Okay, mom, you can say whatever you want, but it's not going to go through my head because, you know, I'm in high school living that fun high school life. Nothing my parents say matters. I get to junior year, and I go on my chrysalis flight. So if you've never been involved in the Chrysalis or Maze community, it's one of the best things that I have ever experienced and have the blessing to see people walk in their lives. But I went on it, and I was so led by God to just go move mountains, figuratively speaking. I was so ready, and I picked up all the things I had. I was like, okay, God, I'm ready for what you have for me. I'm ready to go on and go forth. And he said, no. I said, why? Because all this time I had been prepping spiritually for my chrysalis flight. I was so excited to go on and just be renewed by God. And he said, no. So at this point I was thinking, okay, maybe there's a reason for this. So I go on through junior and senior year. I'm still not dancing. So I'm just absolutely devastated that it's just high school. It's not dancing. And if you know me, if you know anything about me, even now, I'm standing when I'm worshiping, I'm still dancing. This is all great. I couldn't do that because it hurts so much to do so. But I get to senior year. I promise there's a good ending to the story, I promise you. But I get to senior year and I go to my Oakwood trip. Now, Oakwood is kind of like a mini Chrysalis, mini Emmaus walk, but it's specifically for high school and middle school teenagers. So the collaboration of the two is amazing because you get to reach out a 12th grader to a 6th grader. There's a big age gap and you're at different points of your walk, but it's an amazing experience. And I truly felt God tell me at Oakwood, Katie, you need to listen. And so I was like, okay, I will listen. God, I will listen this time and it'll be great. It'll all be great. It'll all work out. Keep in mind, I was still popping and dislocating and all the above. Check yes. So I got back in town. Sleep deprived as usual because it's an entire week with Jesus and teenagers, as you can imagine. Just think on that for a second. Jesus, teenagers, trees, pranks at 4 a.m. that I may or may not have been a part of. It's up to debate. But sleep deprived and thinking, okay, yes, God, I'll just let me sleep and I'll get to what you want me to do. And he said, no. Okay. What do you want me to do? I was like, okay, God, I know you have a plan for me, because that was one of the main talks at Oakwood. You have a plan for my life, and that is not to harm me or hurt me. It's to prosper me and push me in the right direction that God wants us to go. And so God said, Katie, shut up and listen. Wow, I have never heard that before in my life. But he said, Katie, just shut up and listen, because I have something I need to say to you. And I was like, okay. God, what do you need to say to me? Because at this point, I had graduated from high school, had been to the Grand Canyon in the summer, was so excited, on fire for God, but I was anxious because I don't know what I want to do with my life. Still don't. Maybe. Maybe. But God said, Katie, I know what I have for you. Just calm down, shut up, and listen. I was like, okay, God, it's so hard for me to shut up and listen because in my daily life, there's the world going on around me. And I control what I do. So you can imagine having this God telling you, you need to shut up, stop what you're doing, and listen, and give the control to him. Makes you a little anxious. So get to where I am now. I'm in college. I'm able to dance now. Miracles do work. Miracles do happen. I dance in a dance class. I'm part of a show choir. I'm so involved. All is great. But yet I'm still hurting, and I'm still going through so many motions and just everything that Satan's throwing at me, and God places on my heart. I'm a theater nerd. I'm the biggest theater nerd you will probably ever meet, maybe. But in Shakespearean times, Shakespeare was a playwright. So he wrote plays, he directed them, he built the sets, he just planned everything in the production. God is the playwright in our lives. And we are not meant to be the audience members, just sitting and watching. We're meant to participate in the play that is our lives. We're meant to participate. We can't just sit and hear God say, okay, yeah, you're going to do this, and just sit and think, yeah. Okay, yeah, that sounds like a great plan. No, you have to be talking to God. You can't just have a one-on-one thing with him. It's a relationship. It's a godly relationship because he's talking to you and he's calling you to do these amazing things, but you have to listen. That's the thing. You have to be able to listen and actually give up your life for him, to give control that you have to him, which is really hard, especially because we don't know what the future holds for us. And personally for me, that was the hardest thing that I had, because growing up, there was all this uncertainty, and I had always been told, it'll get better when you get older. I realized that was maybe not true. But there was this uncertainty, and I had thought, okay, God, okay, maybe I will follow you, I'll listen to you. But the point of this is, we don't know what the future holds for us. We're not gonna know. We're not meant to know, because God knows. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future and to glorify him. So he told me, as I heard in a sermon not too long ago, save the worries of tomorrow for tomorrow and worry about today. And if you think about that, that's one of the hardest things that we can do. Because especially in the news and the media around us, you see all this hopelessness, people that have lost hope, people that have turned away from God and have just been completely devastated by the natural disasters, by what's going on in politics, what's going on in the world, our world leaders. And yet, God tells us to hope, to have this hope, to give up our control, and to have hope. Now, I was thinking about that yesterday. I was like, okay, just flipping through the news and seeing everything that could possibly go wrong in the world and all of this devastation. But I quickly realized God was saying to me, Katie, that's where I am. I'm in the devastation. I'm rising up. I'm building the hope. Because for every 5 people that are hopeless, there's that one person that has the light for me. That's going to share my light. You just have to listen for them. You have to find them. Because I'm not going to send them to you. You have to find them. You have to go on your feet, and you have to look for the hope, because it is there. He is there. He is in our lives. He's working in our lives. But the way that he's working in my life may not be the way that he's working in others' lives. I firmly believe he gave me this condition to share my testimony and to be an example for him, to know that a person that could have days that it's hard to walk, maybe she can't walk, goes on to tell people that I made it through. I'm here, probably in heels that I shouldn't be in, but I'm here. I'm here and I'm alive and I'm breathing. And one of the things that had actually gotten me through that whole catastrophe that I call the earlier years of my life is praying to him and not asking for things. Because if you're asking for things in prayer, who is it going to benefit other than yourself? Just think on that. Who is going to benefit from this if it's just purely about me? It's amazing the world we live in, because we ask for so much and we expect so much. But when it's not given to us, we get disappointed and we get so shaken by that, shaken to the core. But it quickly became my prayer that your will be done. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because it is not our will that gets us through the day. It is his will, because he knows the plan that he has for us. He knows every day, day by day, step by step, what we're going to do in the next hour that we don't know. His will be done. So I encourage you. No, I don't encourage you. I challenge you by going through these days of fasting, whatever you're fasting from, whatever you're spending more time with, spending less time away with, you go to God. And instead of asking, say, God, just let me just stop craving the sweet tea and Diet Coke I gave up, because, Lord, I'm really having headaches from that, because it's just so hard to go without it since we live in the South and all the sugar around us. Pray, God, your will be done. Your will be done, because you know what I'm going through. You know what? I'm taking myself away to give more time to you. And I just pray over y'all that you quickly realize that his will is going to be done and that we don't know what tomorrow holds. We'll never know. We're not meant to know. We're not going to know. But if we give up our control to him and we have hope in this what seems like a hopeless world, his will soon be done.